Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I'm excited again to be here. I'm excited because at the end of the message yesterday, so many of you guys came up and we had some good conversation and I learned some stuff about you. Some stuff about you that helped me understand what God was using me for this week. Again, I thank God for Dr. Smith and for Dr. Jones and for Dr. Rogers and for the invitation to come and share. And so we're talking about empowering leaders to embrace their calling. And as we continue in this week, it's just really interesting though that we look at what God is saying to us from the text of Acts chapter number 3. It's interesting because we see this as a piece of text that we see a miracle performed, but rather than just focus on the miracle, I want to focus on the man that God allows to take part in that miracle. And for the purpose of our text, I'm using him as a leader, amen? Because we do recognize that we're all called, amen? Amen. Now, come on, I'm from Detroit. Y'all heard the story yesterday. So can I get an amen in the house?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to preach, and we're going to get out of here. Father, we thank you, God, for this time that we are able to share your word. Father, we pray again that there be less of me and more of thee. Give us information for our heads, inspiration for our hearts. But then, God, let us not leave here without doing something. Give us implementation for our hands, that we would find ourselves deep down in the treasures of your word, that, God, it might move and motivate us to be your disciples, out making disciples. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray now for this great university and for, God, all that you are doing in this moment. We pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We say together, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read again from Acts chapter number 3, and verses 1 through 10 is the context of our subject today, but if I would today, for sake of time, I'm just going to read several verses that we'll be looking at today from Acts chapter number 3, verses 3 through 6. From Acts chapter number 3, verses 3 through 6 in the Christian Standard Bible, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk." Now let me just read verse number 7. It says, "Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong." I want to talk today, as we, you know, we discussed yesterday, empowered leaders are agents of change. But today I want to tell you that empowered leaders are also catalysts for change. I need you to get this today, that being a catalyst for change doesn't just mean that you've signed up for the mission. But it means that you have accepted, amen, those things that come along with the task that you've been given. The reality is that there are some places in this world that you guys will impact in the coming years. You don't know it right now. You don't have a clue right now, but you will go somewhere and start something great. You will go somewhere where people are lost and hurting and all alone, and you will bring them the word of the gospel that Jesus Christ might become a part of their lives, whether it's in corporate America or whether it's in missional ministry. The reality is God has appointed you and anointed you for such a time that you will be called upon to be an empowered leader. So I just need you to get it in your head today. Come on, tap your thick skull and say that I am embracing my calling. Being a change agent, yesterday we talked about, means that we have to give up our rights for someone else. It also means that we have to become less so others can become more. And then we also found out that it's not always convenient to be obedient. The reality is, I'm just going to help you. I was hanging out partying every Friday and Saturday night. And if that was the way that I was doing it, I was satisfied with it. But the reality is God had a different call on my life. And so I found myself at some point in my life becoming more obedient to God. What I found out in my obedience is that it was not convenient. But God, through it all, convinced me after he convicted me, and then he commissioned me. And so I'm grateful to be a commissioned leader now in the kingdom that God has called us, that we would be able to go forth and tell folks about this man named Jesus. But that's not always exciting for us, is it? Hello, somebody. So as we move into this message today, I want somebody to understand that you are a catalyst for change. You are a catalyst for those things that God has destined for in the life of folks in this land that we live in. Let me go to the text. At verse number 3, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple. Now, here is this man. He's laying there. He's lame. He's halt. He can't walk. He has to find himself now begging. Has anybody seen a beggar? Have you ever passed by somebody begging? Now, I just really want to see. How many? Okay, because many of us don't know what it's like to find people who are halt, who are lame, who are unemployed, who are broken, who are lost and all alone. So the reality for us today is that we find ourselves looking at this text, and we see that this man has been begging. He's laying there, and when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter with John looked at him and said, "Look on us." And I said yesterday, here is a man already looking at them, but Peter says, "Look at us." In other words, he wants him to see something different. Look at what happens in the text. Peter preaches the sermon to the man and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise." And the man is still laying there. It does not mean that the gospel is ineffective. What it means is that God is calling for the man of God to do something different. And so here, Peter reaches out and takes the man by the hand. Let me give you my first point. My first point today is that sometimes you got to move beyond your message. I wish that everybody I preached to just got saved. Pastor, I just wish that all the broken down, disheartened people that I come in contact with, that they said, Jesus can fix it. If you would just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, that your situation would change, and they would just say, hallelujah, and run away from that moment changed. But the reality for an empowered leader is that we recognize that many times people just don't change at the word of the gospel. The Bible says one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. And I just need somebody here today to know that this is a real mission you're on. Amen. This is a real assignment. I'm just going to tell you. You don't know it's real until you get your knees dirty. You get your boots in it. It's hard to know what it really is like sitting on a pedestal somewhere. But the reality is God gives us a glimpse of glory right here in the text where we see Peter, you know, coming from chapter 2 where he preaches and thousands are saved, and he's now, hey, God's doing something through me. So Peter could have left it right there. But Peter doesn't leave it there. Peter goes on and he continues to worship. He continues to be on assignment for the Lord, and he finds himself face to face with a lame man. It wasn't 1,000 folks. It wasn't a great sermon about to be preached. It was just simply one guy laying there in need. So Peter, he looks at him and he says, "Silver and gold have I none," but then he reaches down and takes him by the hand. Somebody, I need you to recognize today that you will oftentimes be called up on to do what is not convenient. As leaders, we are called by God with compassion to reach into the lives of the broken, the lost, the least, and the last, the lame, those who don't look like us, those that don't live like us. I worked in corporate America in manufacturing, production, automotive, and I found myself, I told Dr. Rogers, caring for the people that work for me. I got my productivity, my production numbers were always hit because I loved the people that work for me. And I showed them that love. The reality is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so the world can be changed. The gospel can go forth. But the reality is, if God himself, who is divine, had to that was not planned. Had to be incarnated in flesh in the form of Christ. We understand the person of Christ. If he came down through 42 generations, he became real. He became Anybody in here real? So if Jesus could come down and walk, give sight to the blind, heal the sick, raise the dead, what's wrong with us? I'm just talking to the believers. Any believers in here? Do we recognize today that the same thing that's required of Christ is required of us? Let me help you. We don't have to go out and walk out the Via della Rosa road. We don't have to go to the place of the skull called Calvary. We don't have to die on the cross. But as he died for us, we also died. And as he was raised, we also too now have been raised. And so Jesus looks at us, and I just want to go somewhere right here. If he looks at us and he says for us, if I die for you, will you live for me? The reality is today, are we living for him? Are we willing to move beyond our messages? Are we willing not to just be great preachers? Is it not alarming to find that there's brokenness in every city, but there's believers in every city? So let me just move on, because I want you to see something in this text. I said this a little bit on yesterday, but let me just really, really expound upon it. I need you to understand that in that day, in the culture where if a person is lame, if they're a leper, if they're diseased, then they are considered unclean. And on your way to church, you don't touch unclean folks, because then now you are considered unclean. And so here we have a fork in the road for those of us who just want to be religious. Those of us who are satisfied sitting on cushioned pews in churches and just waving our hands. The reality for us today is that we must find ourselves in this fork of the road. You will along the journey that God has set before you as a leader. Whether you are going to risk your religion and risk your reputation. Hello, somebody. Because you do understand today that there is no change, that's my second point, without challenge. And so all of us today will be challenged at some point along the journey. And my question today for you is, will you choose Jesus? What would Jesus do? Here, Peter could have just passed the man by. Peter could have walked alongside. But Peter stopped and he looked at that man. He didn't ask him what his classification was, whether he had a green card, what his color was. Peter didn't ask that man whether or not he was from the different community or whether he had any money in the bank. All that Peter was concerned about was that man needed change in his life. But there is no change without some challenge. And so we're all being challenged today from this text as we see Peter reaching down to take the man by the hand. Here, Peter in the text takes this man by the hand after the man expects some money. I see Peter saying like this in there, get your mind off your money. Hello? Can somebody do that with me? So get your mind off your money. The reality is today, we need something more than a bank account. We need more than just handouts. We need to give people a hand up. That's the challenge of a real empowered leader. In the text, I'm almost done. Peter takes him by the hand and he raised him up. Let me just help you. You got to get outside of your comfort zone. That's my last point. You got to step outside of your comfort zone. You must realize that once you take folks by the hand, you have to then allow them to walk with you. The reality for us today is that we want to be a church that's not really invested in people's lives. We don't really want to invest and do the hard work. We just want to preach a word and then go on back and do church. But the reality is sometimes God calls us outside of the walls of our buildings into the real community where they're real lost and real hurting, and empowered leaders who embrace their calling recognize that it's not always going to be pretty. But what are you willing to risk for Jesus? How many of us here are willing to put our religion on the line to help somebody else? Now let me help you. Let me help you. I don't mean your fellowship. I don't mean your prayer life. I don't mean your study life. I mean the fact that all you do is walk in the church and sit and sing a few songs when you recognize that there are hurting people outside of the walls of our buildings. And so we must be like Peter and John. We must, even on the way to prayer, recognize that sometimes God is going to require more of us. And so guess what? Let me just bring it down. Well, sometime when your mans and your boys are on the basketball court, when your crew is at the fraternity or the sorority meetings, sometime God's going to call on you in the midst of that meeting. Yesterday, we talked about B-dubs. And I challenged you. Did anybody go to B-dubs yesterday? No. If I was a faculty member, I'd give you an assignment right now. But the reality is, we need to be challenging ourselves. So here is a challenge for you. Because recognize there's no change without challenge. I challenge you that before 24 hour passes till chapel tomorrow, that somebody in this room intentionally and strategically engages somebody who's maybe don't look like you. Maybe he's having a situation in their home. Maybe they're going through a trial. Maybe something's happening and they just need a hand. Are you willing to reach down, to be a catalyst in their life, to begin something new? Let me help you. You'll have a reason to celebrate. And so tomorrow, that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate tomorrow. Amen? Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, I got a minute. I'm going to do this real fast. I'm from Detroit, right? And so I pastor a church called Victory Fellowship Community Church. And I started something a couple years ago because we're kind of in the hood. Is that we do the victory sign. Can you all do the victory sign? Come on. She's like, oh, it's only two fingers. There you go. See, challenge yourself. You got to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Now, in the hood, it's called the deuce.
Okay.
And when you pump it twice, it's a double deuce.
Yeah.
Can you give me a deuce? Come on, bro. Yeah, give me a deuce. Now, give me a double deuce. Okay? Now, what we add to that is this thing we go whoop, whoop. Now, the bros in the hood, dude, when they see each other down the block, they go, whoop, whoop. Uh-huh. That's just a greeting, like, amen. All right? So we're going to change the game. We change the game. We call whoop, whoop. We do a whoop, whoop for Jesus.
Amen.
So at the end of chapel today, we're going to give a big whoop, whoop for who?
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
Okay, put up your deuce. Put up your deuce. Come on. Lean it to the side if you're cool. This is history making at CIU. Come on, and give me a woo-woo for Jesus.
Woo-woo.
Woo, what? Give yourself a hand.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.